Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Hopefully, some of you are tuning in after listening to James Burns on Freedom Files at FreedomFiles.com, just doing a CPS special, which seems to have, you know, kind of clogged up our show the last couple of weeks. You know, there's been an awful lot of talk about child kidnapping and all the terrible things. And Burnsy came up with a very interesting point, was that the whole system is involved here. You know, the courts and the lawyers and the police and the social services and the doctors, you know, the whole system. So therefore, you know, as far as solutions are concerned, nobody seems to be finding any solutions. Less than 5% of people wind up getting their kids back after they get kidnapped by the state. So the point was that the entire system needs to be brought down. You know, start over. This ain't working for anybody, man. Nobody good anyway. Taking away all shred of common decency. And when you tell people about it who are unaware of the situation, they say, oh, it must have been the parents' fault. So blind are they to the abuse. On a lighter note, I went out to a fabulous gig last night. Grand New Zealand band named Fat Freddy's Drop. Extremely, extremely fun. I got to bust out my boogieing moves. Straight up, I can cut a rug. Unfortunately, some people get hit in the face because I'm 6'4" with lanky arms. And the things do get quite vigorous with the boogieing-ness. Other people were cheering me on, though. You know, it's just fun, really, to engage in some description of debauchery and dancing at the same time. Thinking to myself at watching these talented musicians having a real good time, just how easy it would be for everybody to just, you know, think that that's what life is all about, that all the dark stuff doesn't actually exist. How freaking easy would it be to think that? How convenient. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and unfortunately, we're not that convenient. We'll be right back after this short break.
Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side he wants, whose side he wants. Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? I got some so-called friends. My right to my face, or when my back is turned, they like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on? I'm flying a JFK. My heart goes boom, boom, boom. I know that customs man, he's gonna take me to that little room. Oh, no, no.
How many of you want to know?
No, no.
If you want to know,
I need to
If you want to know whose side a politician is on, go up to them with a camera and you ask them a very tough question about something that doesn't normally get mentioned on the news or anything like that. And if you capture them, they'll say three things. Well, one of three things. They'll either tell you the truth, which means you're an ally, you can trust them, you know whose side they're on. Or they'll dodge the question, which they're dodgy, which means they're on the enemy side. Or they'll lie, which means they're a liar, which means they're on the enemy side. Invariably, those up in the higher positions wind up being the scum of the earth. Recently, a lot of news about Facebook has been coming out. If anybody's ever seen that Facebook video, What is Facebook? You do know that it's a, you know, wonderful little surveillance grid to fief off with all your material and everything like that and sell it to the highest bidder at some point. You know, they're claiming they're not going to do it now, but of course, you know, everybody who's planning something awful will probably say that they're not going to do something awful for fear of people exposing them or creating a decent alternative to Face, Stupefy with Farmville and Spy on Everything You Do book. One such person who's creating an alternative is Agape and Satori, coming at us live from Europe. Agape, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vincent, thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've got to answer me one question, man. What is TrueBook?
Sure. Well, to put it very in a very small nutshell, TrueBook is a multi-level social networking kind of media platform that is designed to inspire, educate, and empower. That's basically the main thing behind it. And what we're trying to accomplish is to basically bring all the people who care about truth, light, you know, whatever you want to call it, but the more awake part of the populace on this planet together and provide an alternative platform that is created by us for us.
What kind of objectives are you planning with this? Are you talking about using it as a tool for activism or just general social networking or basically the whole ball of wax directly competing with Facebook?
Well, everything. You know, we want to really bring the whole social networking on a completely new level. What we want to do is we certainly want to support activism in all kinds of forms, whether it may be informing people about certain facts and truths that are not being disclosed in normal media or society, whether it is creating sustainable communities and or helping, you know, in Africa, whatever it may be, you know. So we definitely are going to be supporting projects and initiatives and actually even presenting them on TrueBook. We also are going to provide a classical social networking platform that, however, is a lot more diverse and, you know, just a lot more expanded than what is there right now on Facebook or MySpace. And also we're going to be presenting a very large media portal that is going to be focused on having documentaries, ebooks, and all kinds of other things that are aimed at science, spirituality, alternative worldviews, health, self-sustainability, and all these kinds of things. You know, so it's really quite a complex set of things that we want to do and that we will do, but we really want to bring everything together and bring social networking on a completely new level that is more fun, more interesting, and it makes people think, and hopefully it makes them do something as well.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing about our modern society is that thinking and doing something are two things that are relatively discouraged.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and that's why we're calling it the virtual synergy for social harmony, because we believe that if you get enough of people together that are under some kind of a, you know, common goal, which in this case would be creating a better future, we believe that it's going to affect the physical world as well. You know, not only the virtual, but the thing is that up to, you know, this point, there wasn't really any place, you know, where you could do that on a professional level. I mean, there have been other attempts, you know, by other people to create a social networks and things like that, but it wasn't really done with that kind of a scope of professionality that you need to have if you want to go global with something, because we're still living in this world and there are some sets of standards you need to meet if you want to get large, amounts of people interested, you know. So, and that's what we're actually doing at TrueBook, that we're really providing a service that is able to compete with the classical social networks, but it offers a lot more in terms of functionalities, content, and is basically designed customly for people who are searching for the truth and who are active in the truth.
Well, you have games like Farmville.
To be honest with you, I don't really think so. We'll have that. I always say to people, if you want to play Farmville, you know, have it open in one tab on Facebook, and you know, do something more meaningful with your time on TrueBook while you have it open in the other tab. You know, we may have some game zones, but that is going to be connected to, you know, actually creating some change. You know, because for example, we're having some interesting ideas because we have one of our strategic partners is called Raintrust, and Raintrust donated 111,000 square feet of rainforest to TrueBook. So we're right now looking at ways how to, you know, present that to the members that they can actually, you know, purchase those, you know, those square feet. And part of it goes directly, part of the money, which is going to be maybe less than $1 per square feet. You know, it's not going to be like we're going to be making some huge amounts of money out of it. And part of the profit is going to go directly to preservation of the rainforest. Part of the profit is going to go to Raintrust, and the rest is going to go to TrueBook, you know. And there are just so many other options and things and connections that we have which are going to be implemented into TrueBook. So we're really going to grow as we go.
Well, growth is the name of the game, really, isn't it? I thought of a game idea for you. Dig this. It's called Baracko Barryville, and it's based on that game Mafia Wars, you know, where you're a gang of criminals and you just basically sure. steal stuff off everybody and kill people for no apparent reason. And the more kill, and the more people you kill, and the more money you steal, and the more assets you shut down and send overseas, the better the score you get. How about that, Baracko Barryville?
Well, it is an interesting idea. I'm going to subscribe it to my PR team so we don't get too much hatred from, you know, from some of the people. But yeah, no, you know, really, we're very open to what is going to be on TrueBook. And as long as it motivates people, you know, to help each other out, to care about each other, to create some change, you know, and to really start working together, you know, we'll be happy to have it in there. We're not going to be like Facebook, you know. We're happy when people are going to talk about conspiracy theories. We're happy when people talk about spirituality. We're happy when lots of people meet each other and talk with each other and stuff like that. We're not going to be deleting accounts only because you have 5,000 friends and you talk about the assassination of JFK or whatever. You know, we're going to support those kinds of actions. So we're definitely a lot different than the other social networks, but we're still able to compete with them on the technical side, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, the interesting thing is, like, where does Facebook have all their servers? I for some reason, I'm thinking they have them buried in beneath the ice in, like, Greenland or Iceland or something?
Well, they got some of their – well, I'm not sure if it's like that anymore because they Google basically dumped them. But they used to have all their stuff hosted with Google, and they got huge data farms and server farms in Europe. In U.S., and I'm not sure, maybe South Africa, but that's what I know of. I'm not sure if they still have it in there, but I know they got quite some bunkers. You know, they definitely got bunkers with this kind of stuff.
Mm. So where are your bunkers located?
My bunkers? Well, right now, we don't have a bunker. We have one server that is hosted by a friend of mine who is located in the United States right now. But that is just only for the beginning. And of course, as we grow, as we have the need for larger servers, we're going to be looking at places that are a lot more, you know, free in terms of what kind of information do you share and what kind of information, can, you know, the government view and stuff like that, because I definitely don't want to be hosted in states. You know, I don't want to fall under, United States laws when it comes to giving out information and stuff like that when they ask you for it. So I'm not sure
if not wanting to be under United States laws on such a specific thing is a good idea. I think just not wanting to be under United States laws, period, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. I know, but we're talking about one specific part in here. So we've personally already contacted the PRQ, I think it's their name. It's the guys who are hosting WikiLeaks, basically. So we engage in, you know, some conversation with them. And I also have a friend who owns a hosting company, a big one, quite a large one, here, you know, in Slovakia, where I live. and he's awakened as well, you know. So we have different options how to do it, you know, and in the future when, you know, when we're going to have some of our own resources, we're definitely going to just build our own headquarters or whatever somewhere in Europe where it's going to be safe, you know.
Oh, I'm not sure if it is going to be safe in Europe. Did you hear about the different legislation being passed in Belgium where they were proposing that instead of burying people in the ground, you know, just to save the climate, they're going to liquefy them and flush them into the sewer systems?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear that. Well,
yeah.
which is just such a stupid thing, you know, it's just showing how crazy the society is, you know. I mean, saving the climate by not, you know, burying people under the ground, that's just ridiculous, you know. Because I'm quite sure you're going to produce a lot more of, you know, bad stuff for the environment when you're liquefying the bodies and you put it into the sewer system, into water, you know, toxic material and stuff like that, that is not, you know, naturally basically digested by the earth. You know, I'm not really sure about that, you know. But speaking of, you know, earth and green energy, another interesting thing, Trubik is already partnered with Intrexium. And these guys are actually, I have to say that, I have to thank them so much. They're from Sweden, and Intrexium is very much responsible for Trubik's beta version in terms of, you know, providing the funds and stuff like that. You know, they really helped us out. And these guys have some amazing devices, man. I tell you, like, the one that I can talk about because they have it patented is a device that eradicates 90%. I mean, it's crazy, 90% of the bad exhaustion gases from your car. You know, I saw the test. Even the CO2 levels dropped down almost like 60 or 80%, you know, and they have so much more stuff, you know. So we're really approaching a very broad spectrum of, you know, being active, of not just being a website, but actually being active in the real world, you know, and there's just so much more to come. You know, we've released Trubik today in its beta version. It has very, very good feedback. And again, this is just a beta. This is a very beginning. It's going to look so much better, have so much more content, and so much more things that you can do. And it's just really going to be great. I'm so excited about it.
Well, it's good to see, man, because there's a lot of suppression of entrepreneurship out there, I find, because if you're the person who's got the vision and you want to do something great, often it's you that takes all the risks. And in this day and age, we have so many people who are like trying to play it safe by getting a job and getting a haircut and buying this tweed suit and whatnot. And
Definitely. And it's, you know, I mean, on one hand, it's hard, you know, because I understand that people do live in this society for a long time. And then when they awaken, it's hard to deprogram and everything. And but to be honest with you, my life for the past year wasn't that. And I don't want to complain right now. I'm very happy for, you know, my life and the way how I was able to live it. But we were not enjoying stuff like going to movies and restaurants and stuff like that because we didn't have the money for it, you know, because I was working on Trubik and I just wasn't going to a job, you know, because I needed to be full time on it with everything that we're doing. But again, if there's something in your heart that drives you and you really, you know, want to do it, you just go for it, and you might as well be a lot better off, you know, with having good feeling in your heart and living the life that you want than having more money or stuff like that, you know. And I've learned it again and again and again, you know, that it's better to follow your heart than to follow the money, you know, in that case.
Well, yeah. And, well, interesting that you say, should say follow the money.
Right.
It's one of those things. So your backers, now you've got somebody who has huge tracts of land in South America or something like that?
Who has what?
Land in South America, like around the Amazon, or they're trying to save trees or something?
Well, that's Rain Trust. I mean, they got these guys, you know, they have over, how much they have? They got like 8 billion acres of land all over the world, saving the land, actually, you know. And they got some stuff in Brazil, but I also have guys in Argentina. They're called New Paradigm, you know, Convergence, NPC New Paradigm Communities. And they're, you know, creating a self-sustainable community down there. And they made some, I don't really know how it worked there, but they made some contract with some lady who had quite a large amount of land in there as well, you know, so they're going to be preserving it. But the main partner is Rain Trust, and they got, man, they got so much rainforest, and it's great because they're actually preserving it. You know, they care about, you know, the nature, and that's their mission, you know, to preserve it, you know, to keep it safe.
Well, you know, and these are the things. I mean, what other sponsors do you have? Because you sent me a list of them, and I forget basically half of them. But I was very, very impressed, you know, by the qualitative. And you said, you know, it's only the beginning.
Right. Well, you know, I cannot say that they're the sponsors. You know, they're strategic partners. You know, it's not like that we're receiving any funding from them. But those are the strategic partners with whom together we're going to, you know, tackle, you know, how to get the resources or how to get exposure and stuff like that. And so Rain Trust is one of the biggest ones, you know, and really they are just so generous to give us, you know, 111,000 square feet of rainforest as a beginning of our relationship. You know, we're probably going to receive more, you know, as we go on. The next partner is Helix 5, and you know, the person behind Helix 5 is just a great guy, you know, great personality. And Helix 5 is focused on, you know, media presentation, advertising, marketing, and stuff like that. But again, it's being led by a conscious, you know, person, you know, who is aware of many things, you know. So they're going to bring a huge value to TrueBook by utilizing products, offers, you know, and value and supply chains and all that kind of a, you know, business strategy stuff. The next partner is Unique Doc, and Unique Doc is a very amazing project led by a very, very interesting gentleman that I'm sure we're going to have him on the show once he decides to go public with everything. And Unique Doc is basically a social network for healthcare professionals, because the doctors around the planet, they don't really have a place where they can communicate safely.
Interesting stuff, ladies and gentlemen, don't you think? Is it truebook.com?
Truebook.org.
Truebook.org, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We're speaking with Agape and Satori, the founder of truebook.org, and we will be right back after the break. AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. You check out that baby there. We have remarkable interviews from some of the top activists in America, Canada, and New Zealand, of course, where you can basically enlighten yourself as to just how amazing the world truly is. In most cases, amazingly corrupt and debauched. Welcome back. Our very special guest is Agape and Satori, the founder of TrueBook.org, new social network site setting up that is basically a revolving door for activists and business people who want to change the world and link up with each other. Agape, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Vinny. It's very nice to be on the show. I'm so glad to be here today.
I know. Now... Oh, mate. Hey, now, do you know anything about the corruption of Facebook? I mean, is that by chance the reason why TrueBook was dreamed up?
Well, it wasn't the initial inspiration, but it certainly was one of the main motivations, you know, after, you know, we actually said, you know, it's going to be this and that, you know, because back in the day, like it was back in March, we didn't even know it's going to be called TrueBook. We didn't even know it's going to be social network. You know, we had no idea how we're going to do it. And it sort of, you know, organically developed. But yeah, certainly. I mean, like, man, when I found out what kind of, you know, and as we said before, follow the money or don't follow the money. You know, when I found out where actually Facebook got their funds from and where it is getting their funds from, I was really surprised because I didn't know it, you know, to see all those you know, people who are sitting on boards of ex-army contractors and defense, you know, contractors and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I kind of began to see that there is really something behind, you know, Facebook that not really, you know, what they're saying, you know, that they care about the privacy and stuff like that. And I cannot remember the name of the person right now. It's one of the largest bankers in U.S., and he like donated right now like $500 million to the new phase of Facebook, which is supposed to be somehow connected with Skype, you know, even more integrated than it is right now. And I'm not sure what's his name right now, but he is, you know, he owns one of the largest banks in America, you know. So, yeah, there's definitely some weird stuff behind Facebook. And again, we can only speculate what it means, but, you know, just to know that they're, you know, flirting with RFID chips, knowing that they're being funded by defense contractors, being funded by, you know, banks, you know, that are involved in many not really nice things, you know, that's definitely something we need to think about, you know, when we go on there as truth activists and we get out the information, you know. So why not create a place that doesn't have that kind of stuff and that actually supports activism, you know? So yeah, definitely it was one of the main motivations for Truebook to have a place that actually supports activism.
Yeah, yeah, and I like that idea because I find that activists in themselves, particularly a lot of the older activists, they're not particularly well in touch with the effectiveness that you can have in activism when you turn to the digital realm. And in my experience, and I've actually had to teach a few activists around here in Auckland how to use things like Facebook, have a thing like a blog, so that they're not just kind of like writing emails and protesting people without anything being recorded or logged down in their blogs or whatever. It's basically the most important tool, as far as I'm concerned, other than the good old fashioned camera for activism.
Right. No, definitely. And one thing I think we really need to understand is that we have some amazing tools, you know, in our, you know, DNH and in our technological world that we can use to spread some good stuff, you know, that we can use to awake people. And, you know, if I want to have a larger impact, I definitely should use the internet, you know, in some effective way besides just sending emails, you know, get out there and be seen with whatever you're doing, when it's a radio show, when it's YouTube videos, or, you know, being on social networks that actually support activism. So definitely internet can be a great tool, and it is the biggest tool right now to spread the truth, you know, really. But again, we should not stay there. It should start or be on the internet, but we definitely gotta, you know, throughout the internet or through the internet, start connecting with the people that are in your local area, get together, because the power grows so much more when you're in the physical with the people, you know, that you meet on the internet or, you know, the other way around. But definitely, you know, we have to combine all these elements together and start really doing something that is effective and that is affecting people around us.
Yeah, yeah, my chosen field in that respect is just media in general. I want to do pretty much everything that there is to do with media itself, and have this kind of activist run and activist beneficiary media kind of conglomerate, where everybody gets kind of access to studios or whatever, so that, you know, you can get that digital amplification that you do need in today's, you know, mass media empire, really, in order to wake people up. You know, that's the name of the game here, is waking people up. And there's a million ways to do it. And, you know, everybody just kind of has to pick one. And the interesting thing is, in our society, when you're given a million choices, it's hard to make even one choice.
Right, definitely. And that's, you know, when it comes into play, you know, just following your heart or following whatever you feel like is good. And what you're good at, you know, it's always best to follow what you feel like you should do, you know, not to try to be somebody else, you know, just be yourself and do whatever you're good at or whatever you feel like, you know, is a good contribution to the true society, you know, really. And we can just see it so much more and more, man, that people really want to come together, you know, because they see the power, you know, in the numbers, because, I mean, there's so many of us already around the world that are awakened somewhat to some point, you know. Some of them may not be active, you know, they're just aware, But still, I'm telling you that there are millions of people already around the world. And if we're going to be able with TrueBook to kind of pull that power together into one focal point, you know, where we could actually really empower each other, I think we could start creating some very, very interesting things on this planet, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Information is the new weapon, the new guns are cameras, and the new poison is the TV. Stop watching TV, folks. Honestly, 30 seconds, your brain switches from alpha waves, which are the logical, the awake, the reasoning part of your brain, to beta waves, which is the emotional and suggestible part of your brain. You cannot process the amount of frames per second that are being shown on a television consciously, and they've been designed specifically so that you enter into a dreamlike state, not fully conscious. So if you're foolish enough to think that you can expand your consciousness by being unconscious, heaven help you. That's why activism is so important.
Right. You know, one of the interesting things, like, I don't watch TV, even though I do follow mainstream media to a certain extent, you know, to just be, you know, informed about that specific, you know, point of view. But the funniest thing is that once you start watching TV, like, the most important thing to understand is that you can get so much more entertainment, you know, without TV. You really can. You know, people are just used to, you know, having the entertainment with TV. But the funniest thing is, once you stop watching it and you start, you know, feeding your brain with some of the alternative stuff, you know, on one side, people are going to say that, you know, that you're turning weird and, you know, all that kind of a crap. But also, when you watch TV after that, you see all the suggestive content. It's so funny, man. You know, you don't see it when you watch TV regularly, but then you stop watching it, you go back. Like, anytime I watch CNN or any commercial and stuff like that, it's just everywhere. You know, all the symbolism or the subliminal messages and the suggestive content. It's crazy when you see it, you know, how bombarded we are every day with TV, posters, you know, music industry, all that kind of stuff. You know, even our bodies, you know, with the food that we eat and the air that we breathe and the water we drink, we're bombarded every day by things that, you know, turn us into zombies or into somebody who we are not, you know, people who are not making their own free choices, you know. It's crazy. And that's why we really got to spread the word about all these things. You know, I may not be so much interested in people like Alex Jones or conspiracy theories because I'm more into, you know, creating solutions and I'm more into spirituality, but that doesn't mean I don't support that part of the truth. You know, we gotta, you know, we really gotta spread the truth in all levels, you know, because some people may not be feeling related to spirituality. They need something else. They need politics or they need conspiracy stuff or whatever, you know. So we really have to stop looking at what's wrong with the other group and see how we can actually integrate the good things that the other group has to offer into what I'm doing and work it together, you know, really help each other out. And together we can make a really, really big difference.
Yeah, it was one of my mottos is on the points we agree, come together and collaborate. On the points that we disagree, let's just leave them for another time because we'll never get anything accomplished if we always focus on what we have to fight with each other about. I would have thought that was pretty straightforward. Apparently not.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a thing because it's so obvious that to some people this whole truth thing is a hobby. You know, it's for fun. You know, it's something, you know, like when you're reading some magazine, you know, some interesting story and stuff like that, you know. So I think that to some people, they do not really realize that everything that they talk about or everything that they see is actually real. You know, people don't realize that it's all the stuff is real, you know, about 9/11, about, you know, the banksters, the economy, even about, you know, other worlds, other dimensions and stuff like that. You know, it is physically real and it is part of the reality. But I think that many people, even when they're, you know, following it somehow, they don't really see it. and they don't realize it, you know, with their being. You know, there's a difference between having information in your head and having it in your heart, you know. And I think we're actually entering that stage where there is some kind of like a division between those who have it in the head and those who have it in the heart, you know. So which is good, because we can help those who have it only in the head to get it more into the heart, you know, because the heart is the most important thing in your body, you know, even neurologically and even magnetically and electrically. The heart is so much stronger than the brain, you know. So I think it's a good thing, and I can definitely see a huge shift within the truth movement of people really realizing that it's a serious situation and that we got to stop playing small wars, you know, stop operating from ego and just work together and help each other out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all those other little petty squabbles that we have. I mean, basically what we are is we're just a bunch of, I don't know, little dogs whinging and whining at the for scraps from the table. And we realize we could just eat the guy who's we could just eat the guy who's enslaving us, you know? Yum, yum. And this is the thing. Replacing what is far more effective at changing society than destroying what is.
Right, you know, definitely.
And a lot of people take these two different approaches to activism. You either are going to create the alternative and make the existing structure obsolete, or you are going to try and destroy the existing structure and build from scratch.
Right, no, definitely. And, you know, the most important thing is that we really got to first change ourselves in order to change the world. I mean, if we keep looking at what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with the other people and what they're doing wrong, we're not really changing anything, you know, because you're looking for an outside enemy or outside someone to blame for whatever is happening in your life, you know. And once we take responsibility for our own actions and we stop blaming others for whatever they're doing, and we try to, you know, find a common ground, you know, on which we could all somehow work together, then I really think the society is going to become, you know, it's going to start changing. You know, we really need to understand that the self is so important. You know, when you really, you know, think things like compassion and things like, you know, being humble, which doesn't mean that you cannot, you know, have self-awareness or something like that you cannot feel good about yourself, you know, but really, you know, all those kinds of things, they are coming. And I'm so much, you know, I'm so happy to be part of it. I'm so happy to put my piece of work into it, and hopefully people will like it, and hopefully they'll use it for something good, you know. I mean, we already – okay.
We're coming up to break. Thank you, Agape. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine, plowman, dig my earth.
They're gonna take it all. Unless we stop them. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Our very special guest, ladies and gentlemen, is Agape and Satori of TrueBook.org. Any of you who are familiar with Facebook, of course, the wonderful social networking tool that it is, admittedly. You know, I mean, we've got to give Facebook their due credit. They've made it very easy for people to make all their information available to the intelligence agencies, you know?
That's true.
You know, it's all about functionality. you know, the surveillance.
I mean, it has to be said, though, Vinny, the fact that there's this over-inundation of personal information means that, you know, in a way, it kind of gives protection because they haven't got the manpower. They may have keyword software, but they haven't actually got the manpower to be able to go over it all.
They don't need it. They
got computers. Shortlist. Oh, they got
They got computers for them, and they don't need the manpower. Oops. You know, if you would see some of the software and technical stuff that they have, it's that's where they put their money in. They don't put it into the site. They put it into search algorithms and categorizing and all that kind of stuff. That's the thing we have to realize. I mean, seriously, the United States Army and NASA, I mean, guys, they got technology at least 50 years ahead of us, you know, and Facebook has, you know, they got access to all that kind of stuff, you know, so they don't really need the manpower, you know, and because you're basically giving them everything on a silver plate, you know, you're giving them what you like, what you don't like, your photos, your pictures. They can create a full psychological profile just from your Facebook profile. You know, everything
they use digital TV to create algorithms. They use shopping trends on your credit cards to create algorithms. I mean, the point is, though, Agape, I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, the point is, here I am, and I'm an activist. I hate their guts. I hate the climate changes. I hate the people who believe in the war on terror. I hate the scumbag governments. You know, what are they going to do about it?
Well, you know, what are they going to
do? That's my ultimate point, you know?
Well, then you're forgetting one more point, is that you're a free, sovereign human being, and you have the right to have the choice if this information is being handed to someone or not. You know, it's not like that they're going to do something to you because they got, you know, different things to worry about, but you still, you know, you should have the choice, you know, and you should have your control over your own data. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know, that's the main thing behind it. I'm not arguing that they're going to spy on you and that they're going to find you, track you down, whatever.
That's
even though in some cases it may happen, but you know, you need to have your own sovereign power over your data. You know,
this is the whole internet. This is the internet as a whole, though. I mean, if we make another site outside of Facebook, they're just going to track and trace people just the same way. I mean, they track people who go to
InfoWars and all the rest of it.
Do you not think they're making shortlists of people who go to InfoWars daily? They definitely are. They would be.
Man, listen, that's the difference. The difference between Facebook and scanning InfoWars is that you're not giving them your – the only thing that they can scan outside of Facebook is your IP. They cannot make, you know, your psychological profile and your biometrics and stuff like that from you know, your viewing of posts on InfoWars. You know, they know your IP, they know where you're going with that, but that's it. And of course they're tracking all of that. I'm not saying they're not even going to be tracking it on TrueBook. Of course they will, but we're not going to be handing to them all the other information that they use to profile people, you know, and to target them with whatever stuff they want. You know,
if I go to Google and I put certain keywords in this afternoon, they're making algorithms from that. They're working out what my likes and interests are, and you know what I'm likely purchasing or anything like that. I mean, they can work it all out from search engines alone.
Yep,
no, of course.
It's a very interesting society that we live in, right? I mean, it's like all these things are being done automatically. It's like they don't need us anymore. Okay, people are no longer needed to surveil other people. It can all be done with machines and digitization and algorithms and whatnot. So we're entering into this this kind of technocratic police state measure. And this is what we find very interesting in the truth movement, is that we're probably the most internet active out of any other type of social group or classification of person, right? So therefore, we're probably the most highly surveilled on the internet. And yet, we keep expanding and growing and growing, and we keep getting stronger. Isn't that interesting? All their surveillance, all their technology, all their power amounts to nothing because the truth movement's still here, still going strong, and getting bigger and stronger each passing minute.
Well, it is, you know, because they you know, to the final extent, they know that they cannot contain it. You know, they're not naive. You know, some truth movement people think, you know, that they're naive, that they're limited, you know, to a certain extent, but they're not. I mean, you know, they know that all these things are going to be happening, and they know that we're going to be growing and stuff like that. And, you know, who knows how are they going to use this huge expansion, you know. And we know that even the truth movement is, you know, infiltrated to some certain extent, but I definitely do not want to support some paranoia or something like that. You know, I think we're too paranoid, and I think that we got to stop looking at, you know, all the conspiracy theories and stuff like that and actually start looking for solutions. You know, I think we're past the stage where we're angry at what the, you know, evil elite are doing, and we're going to start working on some solutions, you know.
I think thank you very much. Agape Insatori from truebook.org, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure. Thank you very much for listening to the first hour of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. We will be back next hour, continuing fastest 2 hours of talk radio at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Back in a moment. Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. My very special guest, coming out live from New Zealand, Claire Blakely, as part of our Kiwi collaborators section from GE Free New Zealand. Claire, welcome to the program.
Welcome, Will, and how is it over there?
Well, you know, pretty fabulous, I would say. Now, I would like to know, genetic engineering is one of the most important things of our time, right? In fact, there's so many important things going on, it's hard to pick one, but as far as I'm concerned, GE is such a huge danger to biosecurity. And in fact, interestingly enough, just today, I drove past a field of corn that had this big sign outside with this big number on it saying what the type of corn it was. And I thought to myself, hey, I thought we weren't allowed genetically engineered crops and stuff like that in New Zealand. But apparently they are, aren't they?
No, those are called special hybrids. Genetic engineering is actually the way we can try to control and patent the seed supply. And that is being done by big companies, Monsanto, Syngenta, and really the multi-corporates throughout the world. However, there are smaller seed suppliers who just do hybrids, and very often those lovely names and numbers that you get behind them have been conventionally bred. And the difference is that means that they have been cross-pollinated with corns of different varieties to produce a supposedly superior corn. Genetic engineering is the laboratory insertion of genes from different species, and to make those genes work, they attach them with viral bacterial insertions to create a gene which they then fire randomly into the DNA of a corn crop, for the sake of argument. It is totally random. It can produce really, really bad results, but it then allows that creator to man-make our natural crops. On top of that, it lets them own it, which means then we have to pay higher prices. But luckily for them, they have got control of the regulatory authorities, so they actually don't have any liability.
Isn't that convenient? If you've got a dangerous product that's highly profitable, wouldn't it be great if the people who could possibly shut you down, like the government, were in your back pocket? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. A very special guest is Claire Bleakley from GE Free New Zealand, and we will be right back momentarily.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know. The way is going to go.
Apparently we don't.
'Cause we can't see.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We don't know where we're going or what we're doing, but we're doing it anyway. Now, speaking of dirty words, the dirtiest word that I know of, and I'm not sure if I can say it under FCC regulations, is Monsanto. I apologize to our affiliates and radio stations. I know this is a family show. But they're the filthiest scumbags beyond measure that you could ever conceive of, and definitely need an R18 rating as far as I'm concerned, because you definitely don't want children getting anywhere near their products. Isn't that right, Claire?
That is certainly really very, very right. They have, I think, probably been the instigator of the worst chronic chromosomal damage to our children through the generations, from DDT to Agent Orange, and now genetic engineering. And just going back to that wonderful store that you were talking about innovation, I've just been in San Fran, and they have medical or medicinal cannabis, which, you know, it's quite cool. You can actually go and if you have a bit of a pain, you can buy that. Hopefully that isn't genetically engineered, but I'm quite sure Monsanto will get hold of it if they know there's going to be a way they can patent it and make money from it. But just going on into San Fran, that is the most amazing American place to be. They are right. They're really, really trying almost in all their shops to get rid of the recombinant bovine growth hormone, which is another Monsanto product called Posilac, which they inject into cows to produce an overproduction of milk. But this milk actually causes the, causes the cow to get mastitis, to have a very, very high pus content in its milk, and it also produces hormones in the milk, an excess of a hormone that actually is linked to prostate, breast, and breast cancer, and also exceptional links to twins. So already they're mucking around in our food supply by Monsanto, and the genetic damage it's doing through to our children, Vinny, I agree totally with you. They shouldn't even be rated.
Well, when you just said the word, the M word, 1,000 blackbirds just dropped out of the sky in Arkansas.
It's true. Yes, very much so. Oh, PCBs is what I did forget.
What's PCBs?
I just know it, and I know their name, but they're really, really highly toxic chemicals that are given off when you burn plastic, and they make plastic soft, and they buried a whole lot, I think, in Arkansas or one of those areas, and then hid it from the regulators and the environmental ministry until the whole of the area got really, really sick, and they discovered these drums with PCBs buried near their water supplies, and they had rusted and were leaking into the water supply, affecting the community. And I think there was an incredible, ran into the billions of dollars, a lawsuit that they had to pay out.
They've got such a bad record, right? And what I find interesting is there's such a long record. How could an organization like this, with such obvious criminality all the time, still be operating? And the answer is, well, because all the people that will be able to shut them down are full of Monsanto employees.
There is the revolving door, and the revolving door is totally political. And basically, when Monsanto wants something, probably many of the companies, actually, not just, but Monsanto seems to be embedded. When Monsanto wants one of its products to be regulated and approved, funnily enough, often the people who worked on the production of that become the very government regulators who say how safe it is. We really, really cannot trust the revolving door. And of concern in New Zealand, it is happening at that and a much lower level because we're so small. But a lot of our regulators have actually got jobs or are getting jobs in those in regulation, and then going across to somewhere like our Crown Research Institute, Ag Research, to work on their biotechnology after approving the biotechnology that they're going to actually get the job in. So this is a worldwide thing. It's not just in America, but as we saw with the WikiLeaks, American tentacles go into every country, and they really, really, really hard hit those countries if they don't follow. Let's have the Monsantos into our country.
Now, when people do let Monsanto into their country, in my experience, there's very little benefit, if any. In fact, it seems to be only detriment. How is that? You know, what's their business? I mean, seriously, it's like they've got all these genetically modified organisms. They've got all these pesticides, herbicides. They now own Blackwater, Z, not allowed to call them Blackwater anymore because Blackwater's got a very, black mark against their name, apparently, from shooting civilians and whatnot ruthlessly in Iraq. So who better to enforce Monsanto policy, of course? You know? And how are they, what's the end goal for this mega corporation? It seems like there's no end to their facile resistance to any type of anything that would wind up being good for the environment, right? They're definitely not keen on anything like that. So, you know, is this entire corporation just sitting there plotting new ways to just poison our environment and control human population each day? I mean, what's going on here? They got some description of Cuban cigar montage with badass executives with pale skin because they don't get any food and nutrition in their diet because they're eating too much of their product going on here. Makes me nuts, man.
I would like to say that even though it sounds really silly, I think that America is actually morally and economically bankrupt. It's exported all its manufacturing base over to China to get cheap goods in. A lot of its money is actually coming from its colonization of companies over the world. And possibly Monsanto is the only person who's actually got any kind of clout, economic clout, that actually keeps the country internally going. Because it has an incredible amount of employees. I think actually it's laid off quite a lot recently. But, you know, it seems to have concentrated all the ideologues, all the people who want to control the world, as well as all the morally deficit people in its corporation who just see us, the public, as numbers and economic units. And what I love about us and what I love about the people is that we have a voice of our own and we don't have to buy their stuff. If we don't buy their stuff, the little people who've been saving their seeds, the little people who have been honestly selling seed through their own hybridization and making things work, saving their heritage seeds, giving us good nutrition because they care about us, even us growing our own food in our backyards, we the people must take control. Because we know, as the Lorax said, business is business and business must grow. And so I think probably the Lorax is becoming, Dr. Seuss's Lorax is becoming more and more true in today's world. Business is becoming the new god, and corporations like Monsanto almost feel that they have to own everybody and all their money. So,
well, if you look into... If you look into Monsanto's backing, sorry, I mean, they're worth about $20 trillion. And then if you look into a lot of their shareholdings, I mean, it's just it's a massive web. I mean, PrimeCap Management, an investment firm, one of their largest investors. And if you look at the CEO of PrimeCap, he's involved in other 10 major corporations such as Johnson & Johnson. I mean, these guys have got so many bases covered. People who don't, you know, you can boycott Monsanto, and you'll be funneling into an exhaust valve of theirs. It's systematic, really.
Well, it isn't.
I mean, what they're doing is systemic. What they're doing in a systematic way, but it's so deep grained. I mean, you can just follow any one of these top executives backing them, and they are just all over the map.
I agree with you, but the fact is we've got to go and say, how can each one of us create a quilt work that we can say no? And the best way to do it is to get back the power that we have as individuals. And as individuals, we can all work together. And we must be aware that what we buy, what we eat, is for us. And in a way, you have just explained Monsanto just as the way that cancer works within the body. And we know that some of the best ways to stop cancer is to eat healthily. And the biggest fear I have with genetic engineering is that it is a cancer from a cancerous organization. And if our food becomes our danger, then we haven't got anything to fall back on. We have to preserve our food supply because that is, in a way, our lifeline.
That's what they want to
this brings me on to
water. That's what
this brings us on to Malthus, and of course the old adage of the Malthusian catastrophe, using food as a weapon. If Monsanto is a dreadful and evil organization, and I'm wondering if they'll actually try and sue me over saying that. That'll be interesting. Bring it on.
that's in State Memorandum 200, Vinny. I mean, they outline using food as a weapon.
They do.
So if they're doing that, if they're doing that, okay, they're using food as a weapon, is that battle going on right now as we speak? Are we currently having food used against us as a weapon?
Since about 1996, Vinny.
Once they, once they patent the food supply, they will then have control over who owns it, who grows it. If they don't like you, they can actually say, I'm sorry, you're not buying enough of my product. I haven't got enough seed for you. If you happen to get contaminated by them, they can walk in and say, hang on, you're growing my copyright, my patented product. We estimate that there's 40% of that, which is your 40% contamination, and we will be able to own and charge you for that crop. And in America now, the small farmers are actually having lawsuits put across them for having patent, having contamination of their seed supply, which they have saved over the millennia, and Monsanto is coming in and suing them, and they are actually acquiescing to pay because they cannot afford the lawsuit to say they were innocent. So we are actually, they are actually criminalizing innocent people, and because those innocent people cannot afford to lose their farms, which is what they'd have to do to fight the case, they're actually settling. So can you imagine if Monsanto owns a food supply that every farmer, regardless of where they are, whether they want it or not, especially organic farming, if they're contaminated, they will be paying into the Monsanto seed bank for that contamination, and Monsanto will not be made liable. In our regulation in New Zealand, we have no liability. I think in America you can sue them, but because, as Will said, they're worth trillions of dollars, it's not even... like, it's like stepping on an ant for them. We have got no power at all except the power of the consumer. We do not buy their product. We do not buy genetic engineering. We do not have to suffer the health effects that genetic engineering will give us. Those poor wee animals that independent scientists are testing this food on have got immune system damage, organ damage, kidney damage, as well as digestive damage, which, if reflected in the human being, could end to liver cirrhosis, kidney stones, kidney failure, irritable bowel disease, immune system problems, allergies, and autoimmune diseases. If you could extrapolate what the studies of those animals to the human being. And I believe that in the next 5 years, if we do not get GE out of the food chain, we will actually be suffering those effects from the food we eat.
Unbelievable. Well, in fact, naysay, it is totally believable because it's been going on for quite some freaking time. And we are entering into this this sort of a crisis mode. You know, we don't want to get everybody like freaked out or anything or fearmonger on this show. But yeah, there's people out there who are trying to kill you and they're being very successful at it. In fact, a lot of you listening are probably dying right now in some way, shape or form thanks to Monsanto and various other organizations like them. So make no mistake. There is a very, very good case for you to actually stop buying their products, stop supporting them, and run them out of town like a pack of snake oil salesmen they are.
It's not hard,
really,
is it? And
you can chase them out of your town no matter what town you're in the whole freaking world because Monsanto's freaking everywhere. Even the firm which my girlfriend works for have been using Roundup. You know? Everybody...
It's not hard.
They walked up to the boss and said, hey, that stuff's really, really badly poisonous. It's not biodegradable. And the boss said, oh, yes, it is. The company said so. And I said, well, no, it's not. And he said, but that's a lie. And they say, yeah, that's what Monsanto does.
Yeah. I don't know why it's so difficult for people. You know, I went out and planted a few veggies probably about 8 weeks ago, and now I can just cut off some bok choy leaves, pick some tomatoes, make myself a salad. You know, it's not hard. All you've got to do
not
is
at all.
Go out in the garden and wash it. And that's it.
And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen, taking your calls on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, 402-237-2525. VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road.
Santo Road.
When along came a semi with a high end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said,
and he said, yeah, because I work for Monsanto.
I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare man. I breathe the mountain.
I put my poison there, man.
Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
I'm everywhere. I spray my poison sprays and all of that kind of stuff and destroy all your land and enslave all your people. I'm Monsanto, baby, and I ain't going to stop because everybody knows that I've got a GE crop. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Our very special guest, who's just almost as borderlining and unfabulous as I am, is Claire Bleakley from GE Free New Zealand. Claire, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny.
Now, there was something you were talking about over the break. It was the PCBs or something. What was that?
Yes. Well, we were mentioning one of the products that was put into the soil and those drums. And you said, what are PCBs? And they are organophosphates, organic compounds, which contain chlorine atoms. And they're called polychlorinated biphenyls. And they are highly toxic. And they will, when they reach the water supply, turn males into females. And they've made hermaphrodite frogs and things like that. So they actually are what we call endocrine disruptors. And that was one of the original Monsanto products.
The original Monsanto. Don't you love that, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, you kind of don't have a choice about what whether or not you become a boy or a girl thanks to Monsanto. I find that very, very
Vinny,
interesting.
Yeah. Vinny, I can't help it. It's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
But seriously, no, bisphenol A, is the subject of, what, a 6-7 year campaign to ban all around the world, really. Especially in Europe. It's dangerous stuff. And it's in Coke bottles. It's in most plastic groups they actually use, even though it's more expensive to produce than the non-BPA plastics. They decide to use it because, you know, it fits into their genocide campaign.
No, you know, I don't even think they're that clever. I just think...
Oh, no. Here we go.
I don't think that trying to have to create a product that's so dangerous that nobody will use it is actually at all clever. However, I think where the danger comes in is they say they don't have to do the testing. So they'll create a compound because everything they have access to, because they own everything, all the raw resources, they will make plastics from coal, from oil, from all of that. But then they'll say, oh, no, we don't need to test it properly because it's substantially equivalent to the original thing or whatever. And actually, if the testing was done, and if the regulators made it the responsibility that proper independent testing of these products was an industry
standard,
exactly, we would actually be very natural. But there is also another thought. Many of these products, especially the genetic engineering of the food supply, is creating sterility in the animals that eat it, and it goes right down two or three generations.
Sterility. And have a look. Have a look at the sperm counts and fertility rates of the human race, ladies and gentlemen. They're dropping like flies under black flags.
Exactly. So what is this actually to try? All the products that they have, all the foods they've genetically modified are staple products of the third world countries. Are they actually putting in, through genetic engineering, population control? And I believe that this is what's going to happen. They're going to start
this is the whole climate change movement. This is the whole climate change movement. We've got a top Australian scientist come out and say that every American should be taxed $18,000 per child because they exhale CO2, and that a band of elite warriors are ruling over society in an authoritarian manner is a natural disposition for mankind. I mean, this is the whole agenda. It's the New Age green agenda cloaked. That's the cloak. And really, it's a eugenics operation.
It's like a form of spiritual despotism.
Yeah.
Elitism.
I mean, on the whole issue of whether the plasticizers they used, estrogen mimickers, are an accident or an agenda, I just refer people to the aspartame story. And you know, it was initially approved in 1974, and then we had it, on hold. Pending investigation, 1978, and then along comes Mr. Rumsfeld, who gets himself in a directorship role at GD Searle after they fire the other director, and then all of a sudden it's approved by the FDA, then approved for dry goods across the board, 1983, dry goods above 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Where it does become more, the molecule becomes more unstable. I mean, that's a clear agenda there. They tested it. They saw it cause tumors in rodents. They knew what it could do. And they just said, hey, we're going to throw it out there. Now the New Zealand government says we're going to pull sugar out of your schools and give them aspartame.
Yeah, and vaccine manufacturers started purposely putting cancer viruses into the vaccines as well, you know. Look it up, ladies and gentlemen. These things do get done on purpose and then concealed. But, you know.
But, you know, the aspartame is actually genetically engineered, and it was a mistaken thing where one of the bacteria started producing this highly sweet compound, which they could
excretion.
However, there was another product, which was a health product called L-tryptophan, which was made in the beer yeast at Showa Denko in Japan. And it was they genetically engineered a sort of a weaker version, and Mark II, Mark III, Mark IV version of it got stronger and stronger. And they were pushing this little bacteria to make this product called L-tryptophan. And they suddenly discovered that because it was a very specific product for the health market, and a lot of the bodybuilders and people like that took it, they started getting these very, very rare symptoms called eosinophilia myalgia symptoms, which are all the eosinophils, which were your antibodies, started having an autoimmune disease attacking the muscles. 100 people died, and tens of thousands have been maimed. Over the years, they have been in a court case, and they still are. It was withdrawn, and when they started to look into it, all the genetic engineering blueprints were burned. $2 billion or more was paid out by the company to the affected people. But when the FDA or those people came up with the findings, they said, oh, it was a purification process problem, not the genetic engineering. Yet that purification process was still as stringent as the naturally made or derived product. So genetic engineering in the early days almost certainly showed that it was detrimental to human health.
Now, you also mentioned over the break that Monsanto was basically being set up as a straw man. Could you explain that?
Well, Monsanto does own about 80% of the GM seed supply, but I actually think that every time we mention their name, one of the bigwigs jumps ship to another of the corporates, like Syngenta, like Dow Chemical, like Pioneer, like Calgene. There are a whole lot of sort of, I guess...
It's a consortium.
They all have got their own product, because Syngenta is really the BT person. They're the ones who do the Bacillus thuringiensis, the insecticide people. Monsanto really does the Roundup. However, what I think we are seeing is we are now getting what we call stack genes, where you now have a corn that has Roundup resistance, the chemical Roundup Ready resistance, plus produces high BT insecticide. Now, why these two are dangerous is that the Roundup is now sprayed at 200 times the level. And just remember, crops never could have Roundup sprayed on them in the whole of their life cycle. It is absorbed excessively well into starch, and most of these corn, soy are starchy, have starchy grain. The BT insecticide cannot be boiled out and it cannot be destroyed by sunlight, so that you are having exceptionally high levels of insecticide that actually could lead to, if you have a food, say soy, corn, maybe a zucchini, maybe a pumpkin squash on your plate with a soy milk drink, you are almost solely eating a GE meal. And we have no idea what the effects of the GE components will be on the human system, but we do know that animals, as they were fed more and more percentages of GE in their diet, by the time it reached around about 15 to 20%, around about 40% of those animals were dying within a week or two of eating this food. But in one place where the BT cotton, which is not normally eaten, but there was a terrible drought in India and they sent the cows to finish off the cotton fields because the GE cotton bolls had underperformed and all dropped off. And so they sent the cows in to eat the GE cotton that was left. And I think there were 1,800 livestock reported in India of dying after eating, after grazing on the GE cotton fields. Now, when you have a little subsistence family who only probably has one or two cows and a few goats, if 1,800 animals dying in 2 weeks, this is all, you can find this on the net, and it is it's readily available on responsibletechnology.org website. Seeds of Deception, Genetic Roulette by Jeffrey Smith. These are the kind of books where he has gone round and he has found the science as well as the anecdotal evidence. Because at the moment, scientists are saying, oh, that's only anecdotal. 1,800 animals dying after living on eating GE cotton? Oh, don't worry about that. That's only what the poor Indians are saying. We don't know anything to do with that. They won't go in. So Jeffrey went around to all these places and he's got video footage. He's talked to the people who are affected. He's talked to the scientists. And I think we need to really seriously look at his stuff and challenge it. Ask him questions. Ask him where the science is. Write to the scientists that have independently found this out. Ask them why they're no longer drinking milk, which comes from hormone cows, why they're no longer eating GE foods. These are the very scientists who, when they were given the brief or the research to check out GM, thought, oh, this will be a doddle. There'll be no problem whatsoever. It'll be no different as testing something else. And when they found these effects, they basically changed their lifestyle. Some of those people who reported the effects to the world within days lost their tenures, lost all their research grants, and were totally vilified by the bigger. It's bigger than Monsanto now, by the regulators, by the governments, by the pro-GM scientists.
We've I call them the Roundup Gang.
Well, for decades now, Monsanto has been working in government programs. A lot of people don't know that Monsanto, in fact, managed the Mound facility, production and maintenance of nuclear components, weapons, detonators, timers, timing devices and stuff. For Monsanto, Monsanto did this for the U.S. government back in the 80s. A lot of people don't – I mean, the director of Monsanto is a Bohemian Grover. That should tell you all you need to know, but
they're pretty wise. Which means he's very familiar with human sacrifice. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Our very special guest from GE Free New Zealand is Claire Bleakley, and we'll be back with the final segment of the week.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business. It's business time.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's business time. On the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
That's all part of it. That's foreplay.
Foreplay with a new world order.
About the recycling.
Yeah.
That's not part of it, but it's still very important.
Welcome back. www.thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to listen to any of the shows that we have ever done, and also AmericanFreedomRadio.com, essentially, towards the certain end of the show, I usually like to pay homage a little bit to all our fabulous guests that we have on the show, our incredible team that we have here, who are all kind of independent, and they're just kind of like, I don't know. It's like the Vinnie Eastwood Show is just this big bonfire, and everybody else is just out grabbing wood to chuck on it, you know, that sort of thing. So we've got, you know, Timmy in Sarasota uploading our shows to YouTube. We've got our fabulous associate producer, Chris, sends us amazing articles and is really helping out of late to keep Guerrilla Media updated. Our executive, our somewhat fabulous executive producer, Monsieur Santel, who has been integral from the very inception of the show, of giving it the form and the somewhat belated professionalism, hushed I say. And of course, my remarkable co-host, Will, always a source of great cynicism, and of course the network AmericanFreedomRadio.com is such an amazing website because it's made by amazing people and has amazing content made by amazing people. Funnily enough, go into AmericanFreedomRadio.com, you click on any part of that, and it's just freaking fabulous, every bit, top to bottom. That's why we're very proud to be broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. Our very special guest is Claire Bleakley from GE Free New Zealand, and she's got a little bit of inspirational material for us, because often we talk about Monsanto as if it's the big, power-hungry, evil organization that will just crush all of us like bugs and whatever if we ever stand up to them. But it's not really the case, is it, Claire?
No, it isn't, because we are absolutely fabulous people, as you said, and obviously American Freedom Radio and New Zealand, who are supporting American Freedom Radio, are doing a fantastic job to show that we can fight. We can get information out there, and we can choose not to buy into these massive corporations. And I'd just like to say that lovely little bit of music by the Concords, you can tell that they're New Zealanders, and you can tell that they live in a GE-free country because they actually want to make love and they're not sterile. And they obviously had a GE meal. So can I say we have to learn where to buy farmers' markets, grow our own stuff, buy the right seeds, but also if we do choose to or we feel we need to use chemicals, we need to look at maybe trying the more natural ones before we take the ones off the shelf that are made by the big corporations who are desperately trying to sell their stuff because they want to live on their yachts and their billion-dollar homes. They want to be the ones who use our money and abuse our money so that the little mums and dads in the property markets all of a sudden cannot retire because they've got no money. We need to be very, very careful that where we put our vote, our thoughts, and our buying power is where we want it, we can control it, and that it will make sure that our children and our families and ourselves will always stay absolutely fabulous.
Absolutely fabulous. Oh, yes.
So GE New Zealand is what we have to preserve, but I also note that in America there's the non-GMO project. There is the Institute of Sustainable Responsibility. It is those are the people who are changing the world. They've also got the ability to show us how we can support them in changing the world. And in a way, we've got to turn around and not be fearful of GMOs because we can buy GE free, and we have to support that, and it has to make an effort. And I really thank shows like this that allow us to actually invigorate people and hopefully tell people how they can vote with their pockets, their mouths, and their consciences. This is a moral and ethical debate that we have to always be aware of, that we don't have to be in fear of those corporates because we've actually risen above it and we've got our own way of doing it. So thank you very, very much for this.
Well, thank you very much, Claire, for revealing such incredible information on the show, the appreciation of our listeners and myself, not least of all. Indeed, I've been having a fair few comments in the background chat here about how much they appreciate and how interesting these particular shows have been. So thank you very much for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
Just one last thing, sorry. If you want more information, www.gefree.org.nz is our website, and it does try to keep everything about this in front of New Zealanders and the world.
Thanks, Claire. Thanks, Claire. Awesome job.
There she goes, ladies and gentlemen. Claire Bleakley from GE Free New Zealand. And, you know, our Kiwi collaborator section, like I always say, it's amazing how much New Zealand really has in touch with the rest of the world. Thank you very much for listening to us fabulous New Zealanders on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Catch you later.